This morning we are continuing our series in Ephesians. We're looking at Ephesians 4, but this morning we're going to do things slightly differently. So we couldn't decide on who do we want to speak, so we asked three people to share with us instead. So we're going to hear from some amazing people about what this passage means to them, how they've seen unity in action, and what that looks like for all of us individually to play our part. So would you please give a warm welcome to Ben, Paula and Kate, everyone. Thank you all so much for being here. Well, I thought we would just briefly kick us off. Do you want to just tell us a quick sentence about yourselves, and then we can jump straight in and I'll read the passage for us. So, Paula, why don't you start?
I live in Hove. I go to St. Peter's. I'm married with two grown-up daughters and two grandchildren.
Hi, I'm Kate. I'm married to Jay, and I've got Esther, and then Jensen's just gone out to youth, and we live in Shoreham. We've been part of St. Peter's for about 9 years or so, and then started coming to St. Leonard's in January. So that's me.
Hi, I'm Ben. I'm married to Zanna. Everyone knows Zanna much more than they know me. But sorry, you've got me today. I've got four kids, who are two of which are here, and one has a birthday party today. We live in Port Slade and have been coming since the plant with when Ali started.
Great, thank you so much. So I'll read Ephesians 4. So we're looking at the first half today. So if you've got a Bible, maybe you want to turn with me to the start of Ephesians 4. Just, you know, checking I'm reading the right thing. It's always good to have accountability for that. So Ephesians 4 says this. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit. Just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head. That is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by supporting ligaments, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. It's amazing, isn't it? It's what an amazing passage. So let's kick off. Let's get straight into it. Was there anything that jumped out for you guys when you first read this passage? What was the one thing that kind of mainly jumped out for you?
I think the thing that jumped out for me was the being swayed about by the waves. And how easy it is to be swayed about by the waves. I find it's a constant battle for me. Faith is always a battle. It's an everyday thing. It's not like you can sort of get filled up like a car and it'll last all week. It's like almost every moment we're 100% flesh, but we're 100% able to hold the Spirit. So it is a battle, but in us, and it is for me. And so I have to remind myself sometimes when I'm in the flesh, as it were, or in my own path, that I can and I do get swayed by the waves so easily that I have to then root myself. And the way to root for me is the faith, it's Jesus, it's rocking, it's rooting down and getting in prayer and opening myself up, and then suddenly you go, actually, no, we're not going to get swept away. We're going to hold firm, and we can do that. It's a choice we have to make. So that's what struck me.
I think there's something about the body building itself up in love, and it just is striking me a lot at the moment how precious every person is a genuine gift, and possibly I'm missing a bit of that. I'm asking God quite a lot at the moment, please show me what you're seeing, who you're seeing, this person you've created to be in a body with me. Because if you're anything like me, your own thinking tends to be a lot about you. Well, not, you know, I think a lot about me. And I think the Lord's kind of going, look for me. You know, look for me. I'm there, I'm there, I'm there, I'm there. So that sense of we're all joined and I'm needing all of the body, every single person in the body of Christ is part of my growing and my, and I'm part of that. Yeah, it's not all about me.
Oh, I love both of those. Yeah, I think for me as well, the thing that I loved about the passage as well is that Paul kind of starts with actually who we are in Christ first and ends in that with Christ as the head. So it's almost like you've got the doing bit in the middle, but before that, after that, surrounding that is just to be and who I am in Christ, what my identity is, and that kind of theme running through. And similar to you, that kind of idea that where it says about the infant that kind of gets blown here and there. Just had kind of a moment with God just thinking about that and thinking exactly the same. Like, I feel sometimes like I'm blown here and there, and I've been Christian for many, many years. And I work with premature babies, so I work on the baby unit in Brighton. And premature babies that have been born early, are some of the most fragile, vulnerable babies, some of the most fragile, vulnerable humans, actually. And when they've been born early, actually the best place, the research shows us, that they could be is on their parents' chest. And I felt like God was just talking to me about this, so I'll just share it now. So when babies are fragile, when they're vulnerable, the best place they can be is on their parents' chest. And as they're on their parents' chest, they can feel their parents' heartbeat. They can kind of feel the breath of their parents breathing in and out. They can smell their parents' skin. They regulate to the same temperature as their parents. And they can actually recognize their parents' voices from as early as 26 weeks compared to anybody else's voice on the neonatal unit, which is amazing. And the research says that the more time babies spend here, the better they do. And the quicker they get out into the world and get home and out of the neonatal unit, and the more they grow. And I felt like Father was kind of, the Holy Spirit was saying through that, actually, when we feel blown from one way to another, where we feel like those infants, actually what we need to do is come here. We need to come and rest on the Father. We need to kind of just breathe in the Holy Spirit and be refreshed by his breath. We need to kind of listen to what his heartbeat beats for. We need to kind of like be, just smell the fragrance of heaven again. Just kind of like feel, actually, what is his temperature right now? Can we kind of regulate to the same temperature as him? And most of all, we just need to recognize his voice through worship, through his word, just hearing what is it that he's speaking over me today. And that could be quick. It could be just a quick kind of like embrace with the Father again, or it could be a long kind of soak with the Father. But actually, when we feel like we're like those infants, which we all feel every day, or kind of like more so on some days, that we can just come back to the Father. So I'd love to pray for that. That was kind of like my biggest take home as well, which echoes what you were saying.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much. And I think one of the key themes in this passage is unity. And I think, as you're saying, it's unity with Christ, and I think it's also unity with others. And has there been any particular cases for any of you guys where you maybe felt united with other people within the church, and what's happened? Is there a specific situation where maybe you found that happen?
What sprung to mind with that thought was when we used to go to a church in London that was really into kind of spiritual warfare and listening prayer. And I have always grown up thinking that you pray and you do out your list of things that you want to pray for. And they might be really worthy things. They might be selfish things. They might be whatever. But we'd just say a load of things to God and hope he'd answer them. It was a revelation to me that actually we should be listening more. And we used to do this listening prayer for people, DNA prayer we'd call it. And people you'd never met before would come and sit down and we wouldn't want to hear anything about them. We'd just write down, you know, we'd pray into what we heard. And it was just amazing revelation that God does want to speak to us. He wants us to listen. And I found those the most dynamic church times I've had almost. You know, and prophetically hearing things and realizing that we are all prophets. We all have the ability, although we probably are stronger at being a pastoral person or stronger at being a prophet or stronger at being evangelist, we can all also be a bit of everything. And if we want to have those gifts, we can ask for them and we can hear things. And I'd say that was one of the most dynamic church times I had, was when we really focused on that listening stuff. And I would always encourage you, anyone, when you're praying, get to a bit of listening. Ask a specific question and see what comes, because you'll get something. And that's when, yeah, a bit, that's dynamic to me. But anyway.
So good. So good. Yeah, I love it when we're all kind of united in worship. And whether that's like a small group or a big worship event or just church on a Sunday, when you've got a room full of people that are just coming with expectation and hunger to meet God and hunger to just worship him and give him your worship because he's worthy of it. And there's just something about that builds expectation in me and faith in me as well. So I love that.
And I think it's interesting because prayer was the one I would have settled on. There were two events this year. One was the joint churches prayer night where some of you guys came, and Holland Road Baptist and a couple of fathers from the Worth Abbey monks in the city thing. I mean, a huge range of different churchmanship. But man, the passion in the room that night. I felt like, I don't know if I felt this in St. Peter's. In a night of prayer, you know, when we weren't there for ourselves or our own churches, we were there to usher in the will of God and his kingdom into the earth. And that sense of unity was almost palpable in the air. And the all-night prayer we did the other night, again, had different people from different churches. And people think I plan a lot of these things, and I honestly didn't plan it. I had some scriptures to punctuate the night with. And people popped up and led things and spoke out and listened and heard different things. And through the body, the Holy Spirit led us. And we all kind of left 8 hours after a night together going, wow.
Thank you. Paul talks about in verse 1, living a life worthy of a calling. And it's that word calling, I think, can often mean so many different things. But what does what for you guys? What does that mean for you personally? And then what do you think that means for the church as well?
Okay. I think when I was looking at this, I was kind of thinking about what has Paul written before in Ephesians? What have we learned so far over the last few weeks? And what we're called into is we're called into Christ. We're called into, you know, we're chosen. We have every spiritual blessing in him. We're called into, invited to be part of his family, part of his household, because it was God's pleasure, it was God's will, and that we're strengthened in his power. And actually, in John, it says that I've called you to have life to the full. So when we're thinking about calling, it's thinking about fullness in Christ, kind of how we can run into every spiritual blessing, everything that he's kind of said us to be.
It's funny, I struggle a bit with the word calling, because I find that sometimes there's a feeling that one has this calling, like Paul, a sort of zap by the lightning on the road, and that you are then called to go to Nigeria and work with street children. And I sometimes feel like, oh, where's my calling? When am I going to get zapped? And maybe actually, I sometimes feel that can be a bit of a red herring, because we're all called to live a life, to love my wife, to love my children, to be there for them, to bring the Spirit into my home. You know, again, it's a battle. I find it's a battle for me. And to remind myself that when we do that, we have there's a fragrance in the house, and that our calling in our work and in our church is actually sometimes just to be who we are in our fullest in God, and that is a calling. And that might lead to a heart for something that might lead you to street children in Nigeria, but it might not. It might lead you to, I don't know, become a CEO in your company. It might lead you all sorts of different directions. But if we're open to that, the simpleness of being who we are in God, I feel like that is our calling, each of us individually, and that's different for everyone in a different way.
Yeah, nothing to add.
Great. And I think you've said it, haven't you? It's we all have an individual calling, you know. There's and that can vary on so many different levels, as you say. That could be called to go overseas mission, but actually, all of us have a local individual mission. Whether that's in our work lives, we all have a calling there. In our home lives, in our churches, we all have that individual call to love God and to love others. But as we look at the church, we're called to be united in Christ together. We're all very different people. Maybe we have some similar things, but we have differences. How do you guys find navigating differences where maybe there's slight disagreements with other people? How do you stay united in those moments of disagreement?
I think the two things I wrote down was honesty and staying kind. I over years of being in different things at St. Peter's, like the women's drop-in and prayer things, and people, we are all very different. Even in my family, my marriage, you know, my husband and I are very different people. And throughout my life, I think I've just learned that God sees each of us as highly, highly precious. I mean, worthy of his son's death. So you don't mess with that, a bit like the Ark of the Covenant. You know, you don't reach out and try and fiddle with that. But equally, there has to be an honest getting on with life together. So it's this sort of mix of, yeah, just genuinely, most days are a real learning journey still of how to stay really kind and present, but show up properly honest. If there's something where you're thinking, oh, I'm not very comfortable about that, or don't think that worked so well, just being able to say that and then work through that rather than run away from it because you're trying to kind of keep a more of a superficial, oh, everything's fine, we're all Christians, isn't it lovely, you know.
That's so good. So good. I don't know what to add. I think it's what you said about kind of like actually God just cherishes and loves you so, so much, and he cherishes each one of us. And actually I think the biggest issue with unity is probably me, because I forget that, and I kind of think I put my value or my significance or my security in something else, not Jesus and how much he loves me because he loves me, not because of anything I've done. So I think actually when we, the more that we just are rooted in Jesus and know how much he loves us, that's when we feel secure, that's where our value comes from, that's where our significance comes from. And then that kind of just releases us from that comparison and competitiveness or judging and all of that. So I think it is kind of like that, almost like that ongoing healing and kind of growing in who I am means that actually when things happen in the church or when I see kind of anointing and gifting on other people, I don't have to be competitive with that, because actually God's got plans for me. He's got plans for every person that are just in his perfect timing, in his perfect will.
Thanks, Kate.
Yeah, that unity thing made me think of the parts of the body analogy that I don't know where it is again, I can't remember where, but it really is apt, isn't it? You know, someone's a hand, someone else is a foot. You're a heart, probably, Sam. You know, you're the heart.
Thank you so much.
Heart of the church. But no, I mean, as in, we all have something to bring, and that means that we're going to be different. And that's it's sort of perfectly designed that when it's working well, it's brilliant because we're all working together. When it's working wrong, we start. You know, it's an absolute disaster. My parents grew up in the Brethren, the Exclusive Brethren, which is kind of a sect. And it's the epitome, when it goes wrong, of it becoming a human thing, not a spirit-led thing, where you focus on one thing and then get dogmatic about it. And it's the absolute death of the church as it's meant to be. We're meant to be, again, this is a cliched answer, but it is rooted in Jesus. Actually, we appreciate each other's differences. I bring something different from you. I bring something different from you and something different from you. And that's the beauty of it.
Amazing. I think you've touched on it there, but let's move on to talking about some of the gifts, because Paul talks about some of the gifts here, and throughout the Bible it talks about different gifts that God gives. And you know, for you guys personally, is there sort of maybe one gift that's either you've seen in someone else or you've seen God use through you that you can tell us about this morning?
I don't know. I don't like blowing my own trumpet, but no, I think for me, I get joy. Joy is rooted. If I've experienced the Spirit, I get. I have to put my hands in. If you see me in church, it's usually because I'm bubbling with joy, and I sort of, and that's definitely my calling card. And also, kind of, I guess, sort of peace and kindness is what I feel like I bring. I know I talked about my wife, but I always marvel at her gift of prophecy, and I think that's sort of sometimes underrated. She just gets words for people who she's never met, and it's, I don't know, I'm always in awe of her with her prophecy.
Yeah, I think for me, I love encouraging people, like whether that's in church or just in the workplace. Like, you see something in somebody and you want to pull out the good in them, you want to speak into that, and that I think is quite countercultural sometimes, actually, in like in the NHS or in the workplace, of like seeing something good and just really naming it and kind of saying that was great. And I've just been blessed by other people's gifts as well, so I've definitely been blessed by people that are prophetic or have prophecy and hear from God. People just coming forward, I love coming forward for prayer. So I'm like, do I fit in that category? Kind of, yes, I'll come forward. Because it's such a blessing to be prayed for, and like for somebody to hear from God for you in that moment, or speak kind of words from the Bible over you, is just such a blessing. So, yeah.
I think I want to just say, from the point of view of being in the community of the Safe Haven Women, over 15 years, when I went there, I went thinking, oh, I'm going to help, you know, these poor women. And over those 15 years, they've become part of the body of Christ. And I am actually stepping back from leading, and because I'm wanting, just sensing God leading some stuff into schools. And so I did a very gentle announcement that I was stepping back for a term. And what I experienced was the body of Christ. One woman from the Whitehawk estate said to me, I should be feeling really sad you're going, but it's obvious God's really going to use